Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, where we discuss the power of locally grown food to connect us with our communities and the lands we inhabit. We cover topics like local food systems, community-supported agriculture, urban farming, food justice, Indigenous food knowledge, foraging, edible weeds, community gardens, food swaps and permaculture. The Local Food Connections show is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We acknowledge that in Australia, we are growing food on the unceded land of many Indigenous nations, and we pay respects to all those who managed this land for millennia before us. I'm Anne Stanley, and my co-host is Amy Chiara.
Hello.
Hi, Amy. Amy today is working the panel, doing all the technical stuff, so that's fantastic for me. And our guest today is Thuk Ajak.
Hello, Anne.
Hi. Thuk is here to tell us about the United African Farm. A farm he co-founded in 2019 in Longwarri, which is part of Cardinia Shire. One of the main purposes of the farm is to give people from different parts of Africa the opportunities to grow some of the foods they miss now that they're living in Australia. But it's much more than that. It's also about uniting people through food growing in general. So welcome, Thuk, again.
Thank you, Anne, and it's great to be here today.
Would you tell us a little bit about 2019 and how the farm got started?
Time really ran so fast. It's just like yesterday. So I came to this country in 2019, and it has always been my passion to run a small garden of any sort. And coming here and navigating a lot of ways in terms of, you know, getting to start something. And I was so fortunate enough, I did a bit of volunteering work. I did volunteer at Ceres, which is not really far from here. And also get connected with some of the local food movements and organizations and food groups. And that's when I met one of our mothers, Mama Kuya. She was also looking for land in that area of Cardinia, and we met at a pop-up garlic, which is run by Farmers Incubator. So we met at the workshop, and it has always been my dream, you know, to start something about community, because coming to a new country always is... there's a lot of challenges that people go through. One of them is integrating, or, you know, fitting in, like to be part of the community. And everybody have their own journey. As myself, I have my own journey. And I've been trying, like, you know, I've been thinking, like, why can't we have a place whereby, you know, you go to that place and you feel, you know, you get the knowledge that you want, you meet with people, you have that opportunity to connect with someone and get to know their cultures instead of, you know, guessing what they eat or how they talk or their language. So, and that's how the concept of forming a community growing space or a community movement comes about. So after meeting with Mama Kuya, we had a bit of a chat. We connected to, you know, organizations like Sustain, the Australian Food Network, and we were fortunate enough to get a 1 acre of land in Longwarri, which we were sharing together with the school, which is Pakenham Secondary School. And that's, you know, when we put the idea of having a garden to the community, it was sort of like a surprise to everyone, because, you know, not everybody think in that way. Because when you come here, the main priority is that, you know, you gotta get a job, you gotta put food on the table, you take care of your families here, you fit in. But the idea of farming, because it's something that we miss back home. Okay, we grew up, you know, having a small gardens and, you know, being maintained on a family scale. But coming to this country, which is a first world country, and then you think of gardening again, people will be like, what's wrong with you? So when we put the idea out, you know, it really catch like a wildfire. And people begin to flock to our farm. We heard about 3 harvest festivals with, you know, over 300 people coming, attending each of them. And people could drive, you know. We had people driving all the way from Melton to Longwarri. Myself, by that time, I used to live in Carlin Springs, so I was driving like 2.5 hours to go to the farm. Yeah, and that's how the concept came. And, you know, we started meeting. At first, it just started like, you know, organically, like random. You know, we didn't have like, you know, an incorporation. We didn't have all of that. It was just more about, you know, people coming together with a passion, you know, and people were connecting. And each time, the funny part was that, you know, each time we meet, even if we had 10, we represent different countries. And, you know, and it kind of built that momentum a bit, because Mama Kuya comes from Liberia. I come from South Sudan. They're quite far apart.
They're opposite sides of the continent.
Yes, I come almost to the eastern, yeah, in eastern Africa, the other one in West Africa. And also in South Sudan, you know, like we have tribes, you know. We have about 64 tribes. These 64 tribes, they have different languages, you know. They have different cultures. They have, and all of that, navigating itself alone in South Sudanese community and now inviting other communities, it was more of a learning journey. We get to learn from each other. You know, there's some crops that are known to certain communities and they put them in their cuisine and they're quite important to them. And there are others to the other side of the Africa. And so it's a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And having that opportunity to sit down with the elderly, sit down with the young people and all of that really strengthened, you know, the concept of having a united African farm. So it's a uniting both West and East and North and South. So, yeah, so that's how it came about. It was just started as a conversation. The other person have an idea brewing. The other person have an idea brewing here. And then when they met together, it was just like a spark. And we're like, oh, let's give it a try. And we're really lucky to get support from the community around, and which is quite a great boost to our journey.
Mm. Well, that's really inspiring. I love the idea that you just had the idea and got the place and then everyone came from everywhere, so they needed it. Yeah.
I also think that, you know, a lot of people, they sort of group Africa into just one country and they don't really think about, you know, that it's actually an incredibly diverse people and diverse place, yes, including the landscape itself. So people are coming from very different landscapes.
It is really diverse. Like, take, for instance, a country like Nigeria. They speak over 500 languages alone. That's Nigeria. South Sudan alone, a small country of less than 11 million people, you know, 10. And they have 64 tribes. When we were still one big country as Sudan, we have over 200 languages. So that's how diverse the continent is. And sometimes, yes, that mistake normally happens. And that's why, you know, a conversational organization like these are quite important, because once you come to that space, you get to understand a lot about the people, about, you know, the diversity that they have. Because I've in my course of work, you know, people normally classify Africa as one country. You know, like, ah, Africa, and then, you know, like a one country. And then, you know, when you tell them that there's over 50 countries in Africa, and each 50 have different tribes, have different cultures, have different this one. Yeah, it's sometimes mistaken, but yeah, but sometimes if you have not traveled, you know, sometimes you may not know how those, you know, these countries are and the differences, you know. Yeah.
Would you tell us a little bit, Thuk, about your farming life in South Sudan as a child, and then a little bit of your story of how you came to be here?
Well, I was born during war, and South Sudan has been at war with itself for decades, I would say. But the war that really took us to refugee camps was the war of 1983, which runs from 1983 to 2005 when the peace was signed. So I was born in the 80s. And we're born, you know, in displaced camps, you know, where you don't sit in one place for 1 month or 2 months. And I started my education under the tree, you know. We didn't have books, no pens, no nothing. You just sit under the tree. And then you just see students being, you know, they just sit on in a big empty space. And then you just write, you know, like when they, when you do math, you know, like one plus one, you write on the sand. And then the teacher would just walk around and then just walk around and mark it from there. And then because there were no, you know, there were no established schools. And in these displaced camps, you know, sometimes they're just temporal because you could just go and come there and then the enemy will come. You are displaced again. You are displaced again. Like in the course of my life, I think I've started grade one, class one, which is prep, for like 5 years. So each year I start, I stop, start and stop, start and stop, until I have a consistency when I came to Kakuma Refugee Camp, which was in 1995. So that's when I had a bit of consistency because, you know, it was a refugee camp. It was in another country, which is
it's in Kenya.
Kenya. Mm. Yeah, it was in northern part of Kenya. And that's when I started. And you know, northern Kenya is semi-arid, so it's really dry, really, really super dry. So, and yeah, we started like when I was in primary school, we started little subsistence farms whereby we grow crops like kudra, which is Egyptian Spanish, and okra. And these are really quite popular among the South Sudanese communities. So we do grow them, we sell them, and whatever we get, we use them to buy books, to buy pens, and buy Christmas clothes, because by then, you know, Christmas was a big thing, you know. So when the Christmas comes, everybody expects you to wear new clothes and all of that. So, yeah, it was a big thing. And that's how, those are some of the few things that used to, you know, motivate people and, you know, give people a bit of, because out of the trauma, out of all those that refugee life is, you know, still people find, you know, in their own little bubble, find a bit of, you know,
meaning,
a bit of, you know. And from there, so that was my first experience into doing gardening when I was young in '90s, and then in 2006, that's when I finished my secondary school and I went back to South Sudan. By that time, the peace was signed, which was in 2005, 2006. People were going back. It was a new country. You know, you could see like that euphoria. You know, you feel like you belong somewhere rather than, you know, being stuck in a bubble that you are of no country, and you don't have status. And you know, by then, you know, you don't have even a passport to say I'm a Sudanese, you know, because we're in a refugee camp. So going back to my country really, really became so important, a lot in my country, and became, I mean, so relevant into my life. So I get to connect with my dad, because all of my refugee life, my dad was a soldier. So until I finished my secondary school and went back, that's when I see my dad in 2007 for the first time, and I lost him in 2008. And yeah, but it was really good. And going back to the country again, meeting, you know, people, everybody was in their own little pockets that the war of, you know, send them to. Others went to Uganda, others were inside the displaced camps, others went to Kenya, some people migrated to Egypt, some went to North Sudan, and that's how devastating the whole war situation is. So going to South Sudan, I was lucky to go to university. So I chose agriculture to go and study in the university. So I did study for 5 years, and I specialized in crop protection. So and I finished in 2013. And then another war started again in 2013. And that's when I decided, I will have to pursue other opportunities. And I end up here. And coming to this country was also a struggle. You know, like I came here, my overseas qualification were not recognized. It was a bit of a struggle, you know, trying to fit in, trying to get a job that really, I really love. I remember in Perth, you know, driving to farms and tell people, you know, I need jobs or I need these. Mm-hmm. And people, like, you know, the system would prefer, you know, like even a certificate four of an honours degree when you have it from overseas. And yeah, so it was a bit of a struggle. And then I came to Melbourne, and that's when I started getting myself involved, you know, in terms of, you know, sometimes I would, you know, Google it and see where people are meeting, if it about gardening and about this. And that's when I, you know, get to learn about the wonderful work which is being done in Ceres. And that's when I started my volunteering work. So, and led me to the formation of the farm.
Thank you for that storytelling. That's great. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Join me at your choir with Ubuntu Voices Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. on 3CR. Ubuntu is a Zulu word meaning I am here because you are. Ubuntu celebrates the positive contribution African Australians make to our communities in music, academia, the arts, and everything in between. Come with me on a journey. Ubuntu Voices, every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m.
None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
Freedom of Species is a show about animals, for animals, listened to by humans. Tune in Sundays, 1 p.m.
Born to be wild. Born to be wild.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. If you miss an episode, you can go to 3CR Local Food Connections and the latest episode will be there. Today on Local Food Connections, my guest is Thuch Ajak, the project coordinator at the United African Farm in Cardinia Shire. Are you still the project coordinator? I just Googled that. So,
Yes. And I'm the co-founder and project coordinator.
Sure. Okay, so let's get right onto the crops now. What have you got growing there at the moment?
At the moment, you know, like I did mention before, the importance of the local connections and the support that we get from the community, you know, it's an honor to also acknowledge the contribution and the support of Vic Health in the current project that we are doing. They've been really supporting us, and they funded the Ubuntu Food Hub, the one we are working on at the moment, and also local connections also with Dr. Chris from Burnley Campus.
And I've just met him for the first time on Friday.
Oh yes, he's
anyway.
Really
we won't go there, but that's another connection. But
yeah, and so many connections like within Cardinia local food movement, the council, and our landlord David Young, and everyone. And at the moment, you know, after having the 1 acre of land in Longwarri, when COVID came, we lost that, and you know, during the 2 years of COVID, we didn't have somewhere that we were really activating until one of the local members of the community, Mr. David Young and his family, offered us a 3 acre of land, the one that at the moment we have activated one part, which is 1 acre, and the other part we keep it for the community to build some little African huts and make it African African theme kind of a garden. So at the moment, through the connection that I didn't mention before, we were fortunate enough to meet with Dr. Chris, and Dr. Chris really helped us a lot in terms of getting some of the noble crops that he was growing in his banded campus. And we got African yams from him. We got cassava. Cassava is really known to the African continent, and that's where the cultural, you know, comes in later on in terms of how it is prepared. You know, others, you know, eat cassava as leaves. Others wait for tubers. Others, there are lots of wealth ways of knowledge out of the ways of the, and we grew our kudra, which is known to South Sudanese, and the story about that was, you know, I grew it in a small wicking bed, you know, just a trial. And the day that, you know, I was harvesting, I put a message on Facebook and I said, you know, I have kudra. Everybody was ordering. People were driving all the way to the farm. And it was just a small thing, like, and I told them, you know, once I get the greenhouse set up, I will at least, you know, invest in this, because there's a lot of interest. Because kudra, like, you know, there's also another similar crop, similar family, which is also being grown here locally by some of the local producers, but sometimes it's not like the actual crop, but it's similar, you know, it's the same family, but different. So those are the ones that they are known. But when I show them like the real leaf of the one they, yeah, and everybody was flocking to the farm. So, yeah, so we have that. The cassava is growing now. We have a bit of sweet potatoes. We have a bit of maize, which is not the sweet corn, but the maize, which is pretty common like within the East African countries. So we used to prepare ugali with it. Yeah, so those are some of the few crops that are at the moment growing. Tomatoes and few others are still on growing, and we are preparing also to put in some few other crops soon. Our active season is always in the summer. That's when we, you know, and it's always, you know, Melbourne weather has been really acting weird these days. It's unpredictable. Even the weather forecast really don't get it right. But yeah, but those are some of the few crops that are, yeah.
Okay, and
do you have any cook-ups?
That is a plan at the moment, and we have just got our coordinator on, and that is the plan, to have a bit of cookouts whereby people can come to the farm. And like today we say that, you know, we are cooking Ethiopian food, so people can come in and test how the Ethiopian foods are. And then another day we say Liberian food, another day South Sudanese. You know, that's one of our strengths, because our membership draws from all these countries, and we enjoy, you know, the wealth of knowledge of food and all of that from these countries. So that is one of our plans now, to have that, so that we can be inviting people. You go and, you know, have a bit of a test and see how these crops is prepared differently, and all the cuisines and all of that.
Yeah, awesome.
And are you getting much interest down there from the non-African community? Are they coming to visit? Are they coming to, are there activities there for the whole community to come, the wider community?
Yeah, definitely. And we, like I said before, like, you know, we are really fortunate enough, like, because the community that we are in, they are very, very supportive. Like, when we put our word out, the first people, you know, that came out were not Africans. You know, people came out and they really liked the idea. Even our landlord, he offered us the land at a very, very affordable price. Because they were interested, you know, having a project like this, you know, coming out within the community, and everybody liking it. Even our own, the container, the shipping container where we keep tools and everything, was donated to us. Somebody came out and donated a solar panel, you know. Like, we have a big veranda now with a solar and, you know, 5 kilowatts, you know, and it was donated. We didn't spend even a dollar to it, you know, and few other things. So the project is really, you know, it's kind of, you know, attracting, and it's kind of, you know, accommodating and inclusive. And we run weekly markets, you know, at a community center where we have young people who we have employed within the program. At the moment, we have 3 young people that are employed within the program, and they run the market. And it's quite, you know, it's surprising, like some other people, you know, who wouldn't expect, you know, African youth, you know, to run a positive, you know, activity here. You know, something that, because, you know, with what the media have played, you know, which is really, really very damaging to the community. And we are just a small community, 0.000% of the population. Mm-hmm. And the media just went wild with it. And So now we are trying to engage the young people. And most of the, if you come to our farm, you find young people really contributing positively. They're taking care of the plants, they're watering them, they're doing harvesting, they're maintaining the, and that has been one of our vision and mission as the United African Farm, was to engage the young people and bridge that intergenerational and cultural gap within our membership cohort. So we have young people running the whole farm. We have, you know, those markets and the community rallying behind us. So we are really, really very super lucky. Mm. Yeah.
And it seems to me it must be important to have people your age and older to mentor those young people, and in a way that's sort of mediated by the activity of gardening and not sitting down and lecturing, you know, your grandmother lecturing you about something. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. That's working? Yeah, definitely. Because, like, you know, after gardening, we will sit down and each person can ask the question, you know. Biggest question is identity, sense of belonging, you know. Like, coming to a new country, you struggle a lot to fit in, to belong, and all of that. And it's really been very hard, you know, in many ways. But having that conversations also remind them about, you know, the importance of their culture, the importance of their roots, and also also give them knowledge about, you know, how the Africa is, how diverse is Africa, and how are things been. Because, you know, with a lot of writings, with a lot of media, with a lot of these, sometimes people will lose in translation, in term of, you know, knowing, oh, because others might think Africa is one country. You know, a young person can read about it and then they will believe that it's one country. But then they know that, oh, I'm from South Sudan, this is from Liberia. Oh, it's a different countries. And then in South Sudan, we'll go back now to South Sudan. This is what we do as a young person growing up. Because as a Dinka man myself, I'm from a tribe called Dinka. As a Dinka man myself, you know, there are things that you go through, you know, in terms of, like, we say, four rite of passage. We have the birth when you are born. Why are you called your name? You know, what does your name mean to you? You know, because everything has to have a meaning somewhere, you know. And then that's where the conversation starts. You are called this and this, because for us, we believe in continuations. You know, like for me, my name is name of my grandfather. And then later on, when my child have a child, we call their name me and all of that. And it's just continuing like that. And some of these sometimes are in a different translation, you might think like, oh, it's a bit wayward or is with this. But finding relevancy here, it's quite important. And there's no better place having that conversation than over food, you know, or in a garden, or all of that. And also important, giving them purpose, you know, coming to, you know, telling them about, you know, oh, this is what works, this is how the community is community expectation, this is what you expect to do this. And having that conversation and over, you know, a gardening is quite, you know, and there's that magic, you know, once you touch the soils and you plant and all of that, there's that excitement that comes with you. It's therapeutic, you know. And you can foster those conversations, a conversation that, you know, sometimes may not happen because, you know, sometimes may not, because everybody's in their own bubbles of homes and work and all of that. But having that free time and sharing a meal together can really facilitate those conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think they've really been really very helpful. And also we've been visiting some of the gardens and community gardens that have been set up, which has really been quite a booster for them, because they will come to Ceres. We have never visited Ceres yet, but we are looking forward to. A few weeks ago, we were at Children's Farm, and they were excited. And that's where we met with Mama Kwia and led to the formation of the United African Farm. So we had to take them back again and tell them, you know, this is where we've met. And they have to see how the setup is being done, you know, what is happening and all of that. They have to learn about food system. They have to learn about, you know, all of that knowledge taking in. And the conversation started. And that will give them later on, you know, a person say that, oh, I want to do this as a career. Then there you go. You have got one person also to, you know, continue the conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's one person at a time.
Yeah.
Mm. I was really impressed with Mama Kwia on the Gardening Australia show that you did. And she talked about replacing the fear with, I don't know what word she used, but they were big important words like love and joy.
Yes.
Of sharing. And she's a real community builder, isn't she?
She is. And she's really very, very integral part of the farm, because when I mentioned that in the first time when we put the word out to the community, she really did a lot of great work and mobilizing the community. Because sometimes there's this thing we normally take, like, we, as humans, sometimes we would assume that, you know, there's that of fear, you know, in between us that, oh, I can't say this, I can't ask this and all of that. But yeah, through the farm, all of these things sometimes get...
Sadly, we have to end it there. We've got 1 minute. Is that right, Amy?
Yes.
We've got 1 minute for me to say thank you to Thuk for coming in.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you. My name is Anne Stanley. My co-host is Amy Chiara, and my guest was Thuk Ajak. If you'd like to find out more about the United African Farm, you'll have to get on the internet now. And if you Google it and scroll down, you'll get to the Gardening Australia show, which is fantastic. You can actually see the people there and what the farm looks like. And I think I just have to sort of wind up right now. Is that right, Amy? So until next week, love the land you're on. Share your surplus. Take care of each other. Stay tuned now for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now. Looking up, we've been messing around, we've been freaking out, but it's time to get down, 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 'cause we're made up of common ground, can't live without it, and it's time to get down, 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 down. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.